from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's Locked On Chiefs, and it's Red Friday again. We are looking at the last two games coming down this season, Miami Dolphins coming to town. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and one of your hosts for today. You can find my written stuff over at ChiefsDigest.com. I'm going to have a piece on Smith and Nagy here in a day, as well as our own LockedOnChiefs.com, where we have all of our content.
And my name is Chris Clark. I am the other co-host of the Locked On Chiefs podcast. I am also the editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. Most of my writing is going to be on Arrowhead Addict. And thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. The season's starting to get down to that nitty-gritty that the team needs to push through. And I just want to remind you that in the offseason, we are going to have absolutely no beats skipped. We will move from the end of the Chiefs season on through what's going on in the playoffs and start looking at the offseason. We'll have the Rogue Analytics topics come up, athleticism, combine training, Senior Bowl. We will go through and have a ton of fresh guests that are specific to the draft process. We'll hear from John Ledyard. We have a bunch of others lined up, folks that you have heard from and some that you haven't. So be prepared for the offseason when we get there, as well as make sure you're hitting those reviews into iTunes and leaving your Twitter handle. That's the most important part, because that's where Pro Football Focus is drawing the names for their free giveaway of their Edge product. It's getting a little late in the season for the fantasy stuff, but it'll still give you all kinds of research and grades and give you a leg up when you're looking at the playoffs. Now, today, we're going to talk about what's got to happen for this Chiefs team to continue doing what they've been doing and keep that role going, because the old adage is it's not just how well you play. It's if you can get hot at the end of the season, you can turn that momentum into playoff wins. And that's what this team has done, and it's been kind of a nice balance the last couple of games.
Yeah, it really has, and that's something that Kansas City's really needed, is to have some kind of balance. So it's very good to see, because I was wondering how that was going to end up with as bad as they played for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that was definitely a drought. They got back on track the last couple of weeks. Like I said, I have a piece coming up on Chiefs Digest about the duo of Nagy and Smith and how they've been able to spark this offense again. But that's not just them. It's the running efficiency. It's getting the O-line to block. It's everything kind of coming together at one time to function as a unit and give some balance to the defense that was keeping people under 16 points a game there for a nice stretch. I think that's really the key to what they have to do, no matter who this next opponent is continue to play their game, run the ball well, use that play action to get the passing game going.
I can't disagree with any of that, but what I will say is that I think this game looms larger than a lot of people really think it does, because, you know, they're obviously not going to have a first week bye, but you can almost give a lot of your starters a first week bye if you are able to sit them next week because they win against the Dolphins this week. And so how crazy is it to think that they are going into this game with a chance to clinch the division, and they've never won the AFC West 2 years in a row?
Yeah, that floors me. That's a crazy fact, isn't it? I never heard of such a thing. I never once figured that all through the 90s, through all of those power rosters, that they never got back-to-back division championships. And I was floored to find that out.
Yeah, you weren't the only one. I'm shocked, and I'm still in shock right now. It just doesn't make sense to me how that's possible with, you're right, how they looked in the 90s. I mean, it makes sense for how they looked in the 80s, but man.
Now, we've had a couple of players step up, and you know, it, nothing to take away from the Dolphins. This is a team that beat the New England Patriots 2 weeks ago. So we got to keep that in mind. Yes, they followed it up with a loss to the Bills, but you know, we know another team that wears red and gold that lost to the Bills, so there are some things there. They have to stay focused. They have to run their game. This is not just show up because it's Arrowhead and you get a win because you should. You know, the line has to block for Kareem Hunt. They have to allow Alex the time, especially – and, you know, when I say play action, I'm including those RPO looks. Does that make sense?
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. They need to be able to – have those types of looks and make the defense question what they're doing. Miami's defensive line isn't fantastic, but they have a dominant force in Ndamukong Suh, and that's a guy that's you really are going to have to get a hat on at all times and maybe two hats. And, you know, one thing I will say going into this game, I don't like the fact that they're going to miss Mitch Morse, but I think Ndamukong Suh as a player actually plays more to Fulton's strengths than it would to Morse.
Yeah, and that's probably correct. And I'm optimistic that at this point in the season, you're not going to get the dominant Suh. Maybe you will. I just have a tendency to doubt it. And I have to say that also, it's good that they have the line that they have intact, because there are a couple of players that are missing practice this week. And they do include offensive guys like Travis Kelce. And that's a significant issue, I think. If this team is really getting hit by a meaningful bug, you could have the whole team feeling the effects of some kind of, you know, virus going around.
Yeah. No, and that's something that you have to be concerned about. I mean, Travis Kelce missed practice, Eric Fisher missed practice, although he was back on Thursday. And now Justin Houston missed practice as well. I will say I am very surprised to see Kevin Pierre-Louis back and fully practicing. That's a good sign for him moving forward. But it was kind of surprising to me because I thought he'd be out. I thought he might have missed this game just because, you know, I thought he was going to be missing time with the injury he had.
Yeah, and, you know, it was obviously more than I initially thought it was with just a stinger. But when he didn't show up in any kind of slinger and that kind of thing, I was feeling okay. I am a bit surprised that he was back so quick, but good for him. They're going to need him down the stretch, so let's not let him get too far out of shape.
No, they absolutely need him, and, you know, they need all the players that they have left on the roster because they're still missing one of their most important pieces in Eric Berry. But, you know, I think he's going to be there at Arrowhead on Sunday. I can't imagine him missing any more time after you've seen how the team has rallied around him being around.
Yeah, it makes a difference. Now, my big question is, we saw Darrell Revis play well, had a nice performance, that then stepped his snaps back. And I don't know if that's just a reaction to, you know, the age and his playing nearly a full game the week before. But I'm really interested to see what they have from him this week. And I'm hopeful it was just a situation last week that where they felt that they could do it. Because when you look at matchups coming, once they get through here and they play New Year's Eve in Denver, Darrell Revis is going to be a significant piece of it because for everything, and you know, people are starting to have this same old argument about Terrence Mitchell. I'm going to reiterate, yes, he's got skills, but he's still not a number two corner. And this team needs Darrell Revis, going into the postseason.
Well, they need him, but I don't know that it's really going to be something that they can count on very well. But I guess we'll see as things unfold. I'm very intrigued to see how it ends up coming out with him because, you know, he played well against the Raiders and then he didn't play near as much against the Chargers. And you have to wonder what the reasoning behind that was.
And we may never know. That's why I'll just pay attention to what goes on next and see where they go from that.
Yep.
But on that side of the ball, who do you think has the clear matchup that they have to win?
On the defensive side, I honestly think that if you get in Cutler's face early, I think that this becomes a much easier game for Kansas City. So if Justin Houston and Chris Jones can cause havoc early in the game, I think it really pays dividends late in the game.
Yeah, and I have to say, particularly, I think that Chris Jones has to have a game. This Dolphins line isn't bad. In terms of their pass block, they're ahead of the Chiefs in total pressures given up this season. I believe they're number four, according to PFF. So they're not giving up a whole lot of contacts. And that's one thing. If you can hurry him, Jay Cutler will give you turnovers. So, and I think specifically, if Chris Jones and R&R can get into some gaps and use their athleticism to get in his face, I think that's the key up front, because I think that's also what allows Justin Houston that extra second to get around the edge. And I think that's the formula that we've seen work on. That's what they have to concentrate on this week.
Can't disagree with that. I think that you get those guys going early. I think it, like I said earlier, I think it pays dividends. Now on the other side of the ball, I think this is another game that if you can get Kareem Hunt going early in the game, or at least get him to where he's getting, you know, 10 carries, 15 carries in the first three quarters. I think it pays dividends late in the game.
Yeah, that cumulative effect of grinding it down. And here's the thing, and this is really interesting because, yes, we've seen we have general knowledge that the play call is better since Nagy took over, right? But here's the thing. Really low run percentage, still a lot of Reeves influence in New York. At least that's my opinion. And then you look at what's happened the last 2 weeks. The Chiefs have run their offense with a 40% or higher split in rushes called four times this season. Matt Nagy's done two of them. And back-to-back, no less, against division foes the last 2 weeks. Against the Chargers, finishing up at 46% run, 54% pass. And I think that's a formula that is helping them get there, even if they struggle against a guy like Sue in terms of their simplified blocking scheme. They have to continue that. I mean, like 35% at a bare minimum. But if they can stay above 40, I think that's the target for this particular offense.
Well, and if they can get, like you said, if they can get the run going and they can get into running it regularly and making the defense pay, I think it's going to pay. It's going to be something that they're going to be able to exploit later on in the game. And Ndamukong Suh may be dominant at times, but he's never been a high effort guy.
Yeah, and that's putting it mildly. And
so if you punish him. Even running right at him, I mean, you may think that sounds counterintuitive, but, you know, you take Fulton and you take LDT and you go right at Sue, I'll take that matchup. He's probably not going to – he probably may win maybe 30% of them, but he ain't going to win all of them.
And, you know, they've been concentrating on that simplified zone blocking scheme, and I'd like to see him get back to the inside zone a little bit, and I want to see him add some counteraction on there. I think that's a big key against defenses that want to try to crowd the box, and I don't know that the Miami secondary's all that it's, you know, seems to be cracked up to be. So I think they're going to have a tendency to drift down, and you got to make them pay.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill should be the guy that is going to be able to do that. Xavien Howard looked very good against Brandon Cooks, but Brandon Cooks doesn't have the speed Tyreek Hill does. I think Brandon Cooks is a very good receiver, but we will see what he's able to do against Tyreek Hill. I still think that Hill will get open. And really the bigger question isn't necessarily even Hill. It's how do you shift their defense to try to stop Travis Kelce? Because if you try to take away Tyreek Hill, they're just going to throw the ball to Kelce, and Kelce can kill them as well.
Yeah, I don't know that the Dolphins are going to have an answer for it. They may try a couple of things, but if they try to stay in that too high look, you run the ball at them. You know, and the way that the Chiefs have been running lately, that's a favorable matchup. If they try to go one high and press your guys, you're going to get guys loose, particularly Hill, but like you said, also Kelce. So I think the big three eat big this week.
I definitely see that, and I think that, you know, Alex Smith, I think, will have a good game. How big of a game, it's questionable at this point. Honestly, I think he's played pretty well in most of the games this season, but he seems to always have a bad game, and it seems to be more of a accuracy issue, which makes you wonder more about what's going on in his head and his technique than anything else, because it seems to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think really the name of the game is keeping pressure out of his face. I think that will do the trick. Personally, when I watch him, that's the thing that I think makes the biggest difference. So they've been playing better. If they can continue that, I think they're in great shape. And then we have a whole new ball game when we talk about going to Denver the week after. So let's spoil it down.
Pat Mahomes.
Right. Right. And we'll see if that's a possibility. You never know. So when we boil it down, how are you feeling about this matchup against the Dolphins?
I think the Dolphins are going to come in, and I think that they may try to throw the ball on Kansas City early on, but I don't think that it's going to go very well for them. The wild card, as it always is, playing a team like this is going to be their QB play. And Jay Cutler is so erratic, it's hard to know which QB you're going to get. Are you going to get the Jay Cutler that can pick apart Kansas City. And I mean, he's got the arm to do whatever, make whatever throw he wants, and come back in from behind in Kansas City and win like he did when he was in Chicago. I mean, we all remember that game. And that wasn't the most painful part of that game. But, you know, or is it going to be the Jay Cutler that, you know, shows up and doesn't really seem to care? I personally think at this point in the season, especially considering he was considering retirement going into this season, I think that he's probably going to show up and be closer to not caring than really wanting to win the game. So I think Kansas City wins this going away, probably 28-10, 28-13, something like that.
Wow. I think the Dolphins get a little craftier than that, but probably not because of Jay. I'm going with a little bit steeper of a margin. 27-13 is what I'm seeing, and I think the Chiefs get on a roll. They get a chance to go into Denver on New Year's Eve and really make some noise as they continue to build momentum, that is, into the postseason. I think that's really the key because they're going to get a wild card spot. In all likelihood, they're going to end up the four seed, get a wild card, and then they're looking at a matchup with one of the teams that they're going to have to go through both of them if they want to win. My guess is New England and Pittsburgh are going to be in the driver's seat, and that's a tall order. So as much momentum as you can carry into those games, more power to you.
Definitely need the big mo.
Right. Well, that's it for us today, folks. Enjoy yourselves. Happy Red Friday. That's from us. We will have post-game reaction for you. Enjoy your holiday, and we will talk to you as soon as we can. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review, and reach out to us on Twitter, @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.